off top, February 12th, Abe Lincoln's birthday. Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
Oh, what's up, Charlie? We're not even going to talk about it, man. We had a great football game. How about that? Ended weird. I guess weird's the wrong word. The holding call, I thought, was like an accurate call, and it just sucked to not see Jalen Hurts get another opportunity with the ball in his hand because he seemed unstoppable. But he really took, I think, the last question or last thing we hadn't seen him do was like play great in a big game against a top tier opponent, and he did that. That was nice. But I know you said you got a bunch of questions for me off of last night's Super Bowl, or I guess it's Tuesday now. People listen to it off of Sunday Super Bowl. So I will turn the mic over to you, my friend.
Okay. So, I mean, we have a lot to go through. The dust has settled. I'm fine with getting to Jalen Hurts second, but first I got to know, how are you feeling and how should we be feeling? We made it through football season. Are you exhausted? Are you happy?
I'm so happy. I'm so exhausted, but we haven't made it through football season. At least I haven't made it through football season. It's not over until I finish recording the rest of my shows. I got another show with Mina tomorrow. I got a podcast with Barnwell I have to record later today. And then I'll be able to like fully realize that I've made it to the finish line. But it was an intense season, a great season, a sad season in many times, a scary season, but we made it to the finish line, and it ended with Patrick Mahomes kind of taking another step closer to like immortality and greatness and GOAT status.
I mean, I think we forget sometimes good Super Bowls are f-ing incredible. Like, because sometimes they're not, they're not like that. Like I was standing up, like white knuckling the back of my chair during that game. And I want to get to Mahomes too, but I think we should start with Hurts, because I think for a lot of the season, something we talked about was this guy's an MVP candidate. He's developing at a rate only second to Josh Allen. And
I don't know. I mean, I might put his development ahead of Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen was a first round pick and the expectations were high. And also he had plenty of time to develop. Jalen Hurts was a second round pick who kind of was like, hey, this is your chance. And he rose to the occasion last year and then got even better this year and then played, I think, the best game we've seen him play.
Hands
in the
down.
Super Bowl. Yeah. Hands down. Like, it wasn't just I think it's important to remember or to realize that he had better throws than Patrick Mahomes in this game. Like, not only was he running really well, but like he threw that third and 14 outcut to Goddard. That was in a football size hole. If it's any higher, it's picked up by the safety. If it's any lower, it's picked up by Snead, the corner. He had a couple passes that were like, damn, those are like Aaron Rodgers type throws. Not that Patrick Mahomes wasn't great. We'll get to it. He was great. But I think it's important to realize that Jalen Hurts, 4 touchdowns total and 304 yards through the air, 70 some yards on the ground. He was probably, with the exception of that one fumble, which was very like impactful, he was the best player on the field, I thought, through the course of the entire game, and was like poised the whole time. So when he told Sirianni to stop talking trash, he just like in control of the game.
That was I mean, that was one of the things that jumped out. And I want to get to the more macro Jalen Hurts part of it, but to your point, he feathered 2 throws that we would have expected those to be Mahomes throws. Like, he put it between 2 defenders. Even the deep ball on that sort of deep drag to AJ Brown was absurd. The placement of it, like, only AJ Brown could get to that ball. Yep. My question on Hurts though, in the more macro perspective, cause I don't think like the mistake in the fumble, like, you're going to hold that against the guy who really carried your offense. Do you think, I hate to just do tiers thing, but he has to be like, you got Mahomes peerless. I think you have Burrow at number 2, but I think it's like Hurts and Josh Allen are like in a tier now. And then that he's leapfrogged the Lamar Jacksons, the Trevor Lawrences, that mid-level tier. And to me, that was an actual, like, not to just go, you know, football hot take, that was an actual question coming into this game, because we'd never seen him play beyond the structure of an Eagles offense that was loaded and continued to be loaded.
Yeah, I've been high on Jalen Hurts all morning and all season, but certainly been trying to make sure that we all appreciate the moment. So, like, I feel like I want to give you some other conversation, because I assume by the time people get to this on Tuesday, they've heard everyone talk about how great Jalen Hurts was.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of, like, what is the knock against Jalen Hurts? And I would say, like, he was not under pressure. With the offensive line was good. His receivers are incredible, but still
throw to the receivers more.
Yeah, but still, he was so impressive. Like, there really is no knock on Jalen Hurts, especially at this point in his career, and especially given the fact that they still have a ton of draft capital to, like, continue to hit and continue to keep this roster loaded. And when you asked him to be special, he was special in the biggest game. Like, I'm not sure how to walk away from this thinking anything other than he's, like, risen to that to an elite tier, to you got a guy who's runner up to MVP and was on track to be the Super Bowl MVP had he gotten the ball back.
His guy's guy, his girl's guy. He's just a guy. But so I wanted to start with Jalen Hurts just to get so we could put some flowery compliments out there, because now it's time to roast the Eagles. And I am so happy they lost. And I didn't think I was going to feel that way. I really did not. And I was watching that game with no dog in the fight. And then everything the Eagles do, they have got to be the most annoying team in the league, not just for Sirianni on the sideline, but they're like the NBA team. They're like the Houston Rockets. They have pushed the rules to the logical extreme until they call it. And during that game, I was like, get the fuck out of here with another rugby play on 4th and 2. I get it. You just need 8 yards for a first down. Get the bleep out of here with another inside screen where your linemen are 7 yards downfield before they catch the ball. Those poor defensive backs. Your kin getting hit by 380-pound Jordan Mailata 11 yards down the field because the refs are afraid to make that call. That's like, you know, that was one of the things about the call at the end of the game. I was like, okay, you know, ticky-tack call, whatever. Eagles got the 3 calls that weren't overturned on catches, the Goddard catch, the Devontae Smith catch, the Miles Sanders catch fumble. They had Lane Johnson somehow beating the snap count on every single play, which is a storyline going into the week. They had these inside screens. They had the rugby plays. All this stuff is going to be legislated out of the game by next season, because it makes these like 11-minute drives that are less fun to watch and kept Mahomes off the field. And all I was thinking was, your style of football only let me watch 13 minutes of Patrick Mahomes in the first 3 quarters of that game. It is football justice that you lost.
That is a take. I mean, so I get what you're saying. Some of those things, yeah, they're kind of annoying, but it's not like they don't do the other stuff too. They do the other stuff too. They do other stuff well, but you're right. No one else is doing the rugby play, which is fine. I don't hate the rugby play as much as you, but I do, like, you want those moments to be intense moments because they're pivotal. And they felt so anticlimactic. Like, they just kept going to the 4th and short. And we're like, all right, well, that's the first down. Well, that's the first down before it even snapped. And you're certainly right about that. But I think it's also, I get the reasons why they could be hateable, but I really like them. And I think in large part it's Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts is like what Tim Tebow was, except actually good for those Florida teams that got into so much trouble. But yeah, Jalen Hurts makes them likable, and he's incredible.
Well, that was the thing, though. It was like, once they, when they were actually playing and stretching the field, and like he was taking shot plays, AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, they were super fun to watch. Like, it was just all the stuff on the edges, which, by the way, that's been the story of the NFL for the last 20 years with the Patriots. Play the edges. If the refs don't call it, it's not a penalty. So I totally get it. But I was still very annoyed by it. So can I bring up another thing that I thought was just... Now we're just getting to my complaints.
Okay, let's do it. I like it. Grievances, list them.
Okay, this is the worst bleeping take I've ever seen. I saw it a lot on social media. I mean, I'm a huge Bill Simmons fan, listen to his podcast, and this is what he opened up with. They're talking about Mahomes faking his injury. How could he run that fast with a hurt ankle? And I was like, are we really doing this? I was like, Are we really doing this? The guy who played on one leg and clearly was hurt and played one of the most heroic games we've ever seen. We're gonna do like a pain threshold here, that it was like a 4 out of 10 high ankle sprain.
I assume Bill was being sarcastic and trying to get jokes off. Anybody who's putting that out there is just trying to be funny. Like, I'm not sure. Is that a thing? Like, nobody does that. it's not a real thing. And it's not something that I think Patrick Mahomes, well, I don't know him like that, but like, why? Why would you? Yeah, it just doesn't seem to have much benefit. Like, he's already great. He doesn't need to, like, maybe if you're struggling and you stink, like, oh, I was hurt. Mm-hmm. But, like, he's already the best in football. He doesn't need to add to his legacy by faking an injury for multiple weeks. Like, it doesn't seem to make sense. I'm sure they were joking. Anybody who's putting that out there is just trying to be funny.
Well, can I give you a couple other bad takes?
All right, let's hear them.
Well, there was the obvious ones. The refs and the field ruined the game for the Eagles. That one is out there. And then this one was my favorite. I saw this one floating around. The reason Andy Reid was able to make such good halftime adjustments was because the halftime show was so long, because Rihanna had a catalog of so many hits.
Isn't the halftime show always long? Like, they didn't make it longer this year.
This is the longest one.
Oh, it was longer this year than it was in the past?
Yeah.
Well, I hope Reid, I mean, she was wearing red, so she was rooting for the Chiefs. You want to give Andy Reid. I mean, the halftime adjustment, or the hugest adjustment, was that motion whip route. Like, it wasn't a complicated adjustment. It was like, they're going to try to pass it off, and we'll, once you motion down inside, and like, and then you'll run back outside and be wide open, Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. And then they did it with Juju, and that was the holding call, was because the Eagles adjusted to that motion into a whip route with putting Bradberry up in press, and Bradberry got beat, so he grabbed, which, like, I completely understand. It's a tough route to cover, especially when Patrick Mahomes can place the ball. So, yeah, I mean, that wasn't a hard adjustment to put in. I didn't see anything else significant.
Do you think the Eagles' defense was fraudulent? Obviously, the offense wasn't. Yeah. But the reason, like, they gave up, like, 34 and 40 when they played Prescott and Rodgers, was the only good quarterbacks they played. They had a weird path, and now this.
Yeah, all season long, they've been more talented than most teams. And when you do that, you don't have to do, like, complex game plans from game to game. And they didn't do, I'm not saying they came in here and just ran all the same regular stuff and they didn't adjust at all, but they didn't do much that was challenging the Eagles, and they did, or challenging the Chiefs, and they didn't have that many counter punches. In part, I think, because all year they just beat the piss out of people, and you're not accustomed to, like, trying new things and integrating something a little bit more complicated. And when you got Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce, if they know what you're going to do and they kind of have you figured out, they're going to adjust to it. You got to switch. That's one of the things that we talked about the Bengals that have done so well against the Chiefs, is they got multiple things. And if it's drop eight, or if it's not showing and blitzing off of one side, it's these sorts of things. The Eagles just didn't have a whole bunch of counter punches. Not that it would have mattered, but it only matters when it does. Like, I'm not sure that they would have been able to confuse them or stop them at any point, but it seemed like we saw this when the Chiefs played the 49ers early in the season. It was like, yeah, you guys are really good, but when Patrick knows what you're going to do, he's going to put up 400 yards on you, like he did against the 49ers. He wasn't that prolific against the Eagles, but he made the plays that he needed to make.
It actually made me think of a quote that Andre Iguodala said about guarding LeBron in the finals. And I was thinking about this last night, was that he basically was like, number one thing we had to do about against LeBron is, like, obstruct his vision and make him think. And then on the next possession, we had to do it every possession, but on the next possession, we had to do it in a different way. Because if they did it the same way twice, he only had to see it a second time and he would rip it apart. And that's what I thought about with the Eagles defense a tiny bit, because four possessions in the first half, 7 offensive points for the Chiefs, 4 possessions in the second half, I think it was 24 offensive points for the Chiefs. Like, they didn't, like, that defense didn't change. Mahomes just shredded them. And those drives were so fast.
Yeah, it seemed like they did blitz more than they normally do. It seemed like they played a lot more man coverage than they normally do. But those aren't, like, I don't know, they don't feel like complicated switches. It wasn't like an overload or a show blitz or a zone over Kelce. Like, I thought that was one of the answers that I would have liked to see with an answer to that whip route, is like a zone blitz rather than. But I'm sure Patrick has an answer for that also. That's the thing that we talked about a bunch, is one of the benefits of having a core that's together for a long time, is, to be fair, there's nothing they could have done that I'm sure Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy and Travis Kelce don't have an answer for or haven't seen. But you have to switch it from series to series, because like once you come out and you stifle them once, and like, all right, we have an answer for that. Then you have to have something different for them, because they can institute whatever their adjustment is so quickly. And to those whip routes that ended up being two touchdowns, they ran it two times for touchdowns before they even adjusted, and then the adjustment didn't work.
Yeah.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I want to ask you a tiny bit about the defense, and I also want to ask you about Kelce. Just quick things. This isn't a gotcha thing. It's just, I was thinking about it last night, and I was wondering if you were rethinking some of the, like, Dominique Foxworth football maxims. Well, no, because we were talking about how it's good. If the Eagles need to be weak anywhere, it's okay that it's not about stopping the run. And I actually do think that was a big part of how the Chiefs treaded water in that game and started the comeback, was 6 yards of carry, Pacheco being able to, break off long runs. When he hadn't really all season. And do you think that that's a rule that's more important in the rate, or is more true in the regular season than the postseason when this stuff matters?
Yeah. I mean, the reason, I believe that absolutes are for children and dumb people. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't think anything is 100% absolute. So like, yeah, don't cross the street when there's a red stop hand up. I tell that to children and dumb people, but I'm a grown up. I'm in New York. If there are no cars coming, I can cross the street. So like, I feel the same way about my own maxims. It's like, yes, I believe that if you're going to give something up, it is the running game. As long as you don't give up big plays. Yeah. And I still believe that to be true. The tough thing, the reason why I believe that to be true is most teams are not good enough to 4 or 5 yards to pop all the way down the field without having a penalty, a turnover, something that will stop them. They need big chunks. The Chiefs are good enough.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, it's like the Chiefs are good enough. And it wasn't like the Eagles didn't have a shot in that game, but I could understand your point that, or I could understand pushing back and saying that it's different in the postseason, because the postseason, you're going to run up against teams that are less likely to make mistakes, teams that are comfortable with doing that. And if you do that, you don't put pressure on them to do the difficult things. Only reason why passing is the analytics suggest that passing is better than running in football is because running's so hard.
Yeah.
Like running is lower risk and it's easier if you can do it. You know what I mean? Like I'm not sure if I'm making it clear, but like if you can run for 4 yards of pop,
there's no completion percentage in running. He gets the ball.
But it's hard to do it against defenses with NFL players on the other side every time. And it's tough if you go if you run it on first down, you get 1 yard, it's second and nine, then you're already in a tough spot. So I think that's what I'm hoping for, is because, or that's what I'm thinking, is there's no way to, it's harder to come back from that. And even if you, somebody's going to make a play. So you run it. All right, we get a first down because we ran it four times in a row or three times in a row, got a first down. All right, the next series, one of those times you try to run the ball, someone on our team is going to make a play, or you're going to get called for a holding, or someone's going to make a bad read or something, and then you're in third and nine, and now that's when we win.
Mm. All right, so I need to ask you about the second one, because this is a huge part of it. So last night, it's about receivers, but it's not it's not the take about the number, needing a number one receiver, because I think we were looking at that wrong. Travis Kelce is a number one receiver. He's an all-time pass catcher. But I think what's interesting is we talked a lot early in the season about guys who stretch the field on the outside at true X versus someone who plays in the middle of the field in a slot, more of a slot type role. Kelce's obviously super unique, but he occupies that center of the field in a way that's interesting. And now we've had the last two Super Bowls sort of dominated by guys who play in the middle of the field. Does that change the way that you think about how valuable a pass catcher can be if they aren't a true number one, a Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill type guy?
It's about putting pressure on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you can put pressure on the defense in the middle of the field, and that like opens things up with Wise. You know, I will always firmly believe that the most dangerous thing you can do is threaten a team vertically. And that's not going to change. If you have a receiver who is terrifying as far as like he could score a touchdown on any play, that is something you have to be aware of every snap, and that makes everyone else's job easier. I think there is stretching or attacking the middle of the field, I think, does put a type of pressure on a defense. But I think it's a little bit lighter pressure than someone running deep down the field, like, or even someone who's capable of catching a slant and going to the crib, or catching an out and going to the crib, or catching an option route and going to the crib. That speed and that number one receiver, or someone who can like go up and win a contested catch, like all that to me is frankly more valuable, because from a defensive perspective, it's, we can't make one mistake. We can't leave this guy open. And so Travis, he's great. We leave him open. He busts the coverage. It might be a 20-yard gain. It's not the same as Tyreek Hill. So, like, yes, they won, but it's – and this is probably having been a cornerback who's had people run past them before, maybe it's just, like, nightmare fuel for me. But I think it would be true of any defensive coordinator that they'd rather have a tight end – they have rather try to game plan for or play defense against a tight end who seemingly can get open at any time he wants in the middle of the field than a guy who – can score a touchdown anytime you throw it.
Yeah, that's fair. So I think that's, we've given a lot of football here.
Mm-hmm.
Now good. I think we can, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a few more for you. And
all right, here we go.
I'm going to start with some old white guys.
My favorite.
Yeah, I know. Do you think Tom Brady might come back next year now that Mahomes is on his ass?
I think Tom Brady might come back next year no matter what, whether Mahomes is on his or not. I don't think he'll come back in the regular season. I mean, I don't think he'll come back in the preseason. My guess is, I'm not the first one who said this, but my guess is it'll be a team like Jets were this year, where they're like, oh, if we just had a guy, or a team with a quarterback injury like the 49ers were, I think it'll be hard for him to reject that opportunity, you know, which... get another Super Bowl or get another run and ending his, I don't know. Like I was about to like pivot into all the ways that we talk about and look at the game. No, he just loves it. And if he gets another chance, it doesn't matter if the team has a shot or not. If he gets another chance to play ball, I feel like Tom Brady's going to have a hard time saying no to it until people stop calling him.
He's a football crackhead.
yes, he's Tyrone Bickham's of football. He just crush it up and snort it. Oh gosh.
So I'm going to give a slight pause here. So in case Christina needs an in point and an out point, but I need to ask you, there were to me three probably borderline offensive, but genuinely funny old white guy moments or middle-aged white guy moments. We off the top, we had the, you know, Chris Berman one. There was also Kevin Burkhard calling, zooming in on Elon Musk and Rupert Murdoch and calling them two of the most brilliant minds of a generation. And then the third one is Terry Bradshaw, who like three times in 4 minutes told Andy Reid to waddle over to him while he was like about to get the Lombardi Trophy. Was that the perfect trifecta of like old white dudeness, middle aged to old white dudeness?
I don't know, but I do know that Ashley does a bunch of this in the Roses and Thorns. So don't worry.
Sorry,
it's in the show.
Perfect. I'm just glad. I'm glad everyone noticed because all of those things were very funny.
All right. So what are we? Do you have anything else on the Super Bowl, or it's time? How much time before we have to deep dive? And I mean, you don't have kids, and so you are up to date on everything NBA. I'm a little bit behind, so I guess how many days do I have off before I have to fire up this league pass and get informed on everything?
Post All-Star break, you got a couple weeks.
Okay, all right.
That's the last thing I wanted to leave you with here is like, are we gonna? We got some NBA. We're gonna have some NFL draft.
Got some tennis.
Should we have like a TV book club too? Mailbags. Ooh, what should we watch and break down a show every week?
I like it. I like it. Yeah, I guess we can get some requests. The tough thing about breaking down shows every week is not all shows. Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. But yeah, I like a TV book club. I like it. Mm. And we're going to call it a book club so we sound smart.
Then our listeners will actually watch it. If I tell them to read Great Expectations, it's not going to happen as they get through Miss Havisham and Pip's adventure.
I think you're right. But one thing I found about shows that do book clubs is even if I don't read it, I enjoy feeling I'm reading it. So I don't think he's wrong with doing a book club, but also I don't feel like reading. So
exactly.
I used to like to read, but now it's like, I'm good.
To that point, I would listen to Bomani talk about any book that I haven't read. I do that every year.
I've kept up with Bomani's book club. I think I've read both of those books. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Friday Night Lights. And then the other one with the Ali book. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we'll figure out the show. I think you probably want to do Last of Us, will be my guess, but we'll figure out something that releases every week because we can't do a stream show. That's no fun.
Yeah.
Or we could do the tennis. Oh, never mind. We'll figure it out. All right. Yeah. Appreciate it. Time for everybody. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that anymore. Time for Roses and Thorns.
You're not supposed to say everyone's favorite Foxworth?
Yeah, Ashley doesn't like that. I don't know why. It's the truth, but whatever. He's so good!
How has Dominique been lately?
Bad or good?
Let's find out. This is Roses and Thorns.
All right. Roses and Thorns with my wife, Ashley. Hello, wife. You see my...
Hi, honey.
My sweatshirt. I broke a sweat running back to the hotel so I could get this beautiful sweatshirt.
It says Ashley, guys. I wonder who got it for him.
I got it for myself because I need everybody to know. My ring is not enough. I need a shirt that also tells all these wild New York women to stay away from me.
Because so many of them are hitting on him.
I got hit on in New York one time, like 6 years ago. And it was
amazing. It scarred him. It scarred him. It made him realize he needs to wear sweatshirts that have my name on them.
It was terrible.
Well, and I'm wearing my sweater. I wore my sweatshirt that says Dominique last week. And I'm wearing my sweater that has an A and a D and like a Cupid heart. I added some confetti beading around it because, you know, I'm a confetti kind of girl.
Got to. So did you enjoy the Super Bowl?
I did. So Dominique was here. We had a busy weekend. He was here and then had to take a train right after my son turned 10 over the weekend. So we had a 10th birthday party for him yesterday. And then he left yesterday, like early. And then he left.
It was an amazing birthday party, by the way. And I think our family gets accustomed to all of these amazing birthday parties that you put on for all of our children. But I guess Christina, a friend of ours, pointed out how you're on top of everything. And I didn't realize how well planned all of our kids' birthday parties are every year. And I guess this year, so we did a flag football party because our son's really into football. And you had jerseys printed for all 30 of the kids that were there. We played flag football. Yeah, we played. I had a Nerf fight afterwards, and it was all great. And everyone was super appreciative, especially me and especially our very grateful son.
Well, you know, he shows his gratitude in interesting ways. But yes, he did have a good, he's had a long year. This has been a long year for our family and for him. And so I want to kind of defend myself a bit and say that I don't do those, like, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just not me. Like, I'm not the kids party person with like the custom balloons and backdrops and like perfectly themed. Like, I don't know like why I feel like I'm defending myself, but I don't want you to envision that. But it's just like what I found, like, the cheapest jerseys that I could get printed and went to Five Below and got every kid a football and had markers so their teammates could autograph their balls. The theme was the games before the big game since his birthday. His birthday was actually Saturday, but he had so many sports on Saturday. And my daughter had a lot of sports. Speaking of, I need to do the spring signups for the two that I haven't completed those for. Yay. They'll be playing on a total of 5 teams in the spring between our 3 kids. It'll be really fun making 5 games a weekend. But yeah, so it was football themed. But how about he was like, you know, instead of a party, y'all could just take me to Super Bowl. Like, that was a super easy, basic ask.
And honestly, like a month before his birthday, when you were talking about parties, he was like, I could just go to the Super Bowl. It's like, I mean, you could, I mean, I guess, but last minute like this, it requires a lot. Fine. It's like tickets are expensive and hotels and flights. So maybe we'll shoot.
But I was like, honey, yeah, like people can't just go to the Super Bowl. Like the Super Bowl tickets are so hard to get. He was like, daddy's gotten them before. And I was like, whoo! Like he knows. And then he has a friend whose uncle is like high up in the Chiefs organization. So we live in DC, not Kansas City. But one of his friends loves the Chiefs because he has this family connection. And so his friend canceled on his birthday party when the Chiefs made it. And like, not in a bad way, super sweet kind. Like, of course, I would rather go to the Super Bowl too. So with Declan. And Declan was like, so Ryan gets to go to the Super Bowl for my party and I have to go to my party. But he did enjoy his party. And your original question was, did I enjoy the Super Bowl? Yes. It was lovely. You had left. And so we went to Christina and shout out to DeQuell. We went to Christina DeQuell's house and watched it.
People who follow this podcast know DeQuell when we had that concussion episode after Tua. DeQuell's a 2-time Pro Bowler, I think, linebacker. He was my college teammate and he lives a mile from me. And we're still, I mean, our families are very close now. And that's where you watch the Super Bowl with Christina DeQuell.
But I'm shouting him out because DeQuell came to Declan's birthday party and got stuck coaching/throwing quarterbacking for the winning team. I hate to say this, but DeQuell's team crushed your team. I heard you were throwing the balls a little bit too hard at the kids.
Well, I mean, if you want to win, I gotta thread the needle. And DeQuell also had the birthday boy and teams that were selected by the birthday boy. But
I selected the teams. I tried to match them evenly on each. I split up.
No, I'm just joking. The teams were evenly matched.
I split up people who like of the kids that actually do play flag football. I split them up equally. I split up kids who I know aren't really into sports equally. I tried to match these teams equally.
The teams were equally matched. DeQuell out quarterbacked me.
Thank you. There you go. Just DeQuell, we value you. And I forgot he was doing that off of recently repaired Achilles. I felt bad when I remember that. Like, man, that man was out there having to run with these children. We owe you big time. Thank you, DeQuell, for making the party possible and for making it like manageable for me, because otherwise I would have been their coach and their quarterback, and that would have been disastrous.
I would have just done all-time quarterback or we'd have recruited somebody else.
Okay, yeah, because it wouldn't have worked for me. Although I did have that one good pass yesterday. You can ask my brother, he saw it. Peyton, I guess, could have been it, but he was late. But anyway, my brother's name, guys, is Peyton Manning. My maiden name's Manning, so clearly he could have been the quarterback. And he's named after my grandfather, to be clear, not after the quarterback. Like, he's too old to be named after the quarterback. It's just a coincidence. But so it was good. I have a rose and a thorn, but it's not about you. It's about like the Super Bowl and Super Bowl coverage.
Oh, nice. I like this. I like the new look, rose and thorn. We just do roses and thorns about things in our life rather than about me.
Yeah, it's not about you. And I don't like to have thorns generally about you or about anyone else because I don't like to be negative. But I feel like I can have a thorn about someone else being negative.
Sure.
So my thorn is what is the blonde guy who was up on the post? Is it Terry Bradshaw? I think that's who. He was up like...
with the hat. He had on the hat.
I don't remember. But he was up there on the podium or dais, whatever it's called, where they had the trophy at the end of the Super Bowl. He kept calling Andy Reid big guy. And then he said, waddle over here, when he wanted him to come talk. It was so awful. Like, maybe they're best friends. And honestly, I did notice he had a little limp, Andy Reid.
Messed up.
But why would you say that?
So like, Terry Bradshaw doesn't like me already, so it's okay. We can keep
Well, it might not have been Terry Bradshaw, honestly.
No, it probably was. That sounded like something Terry Bradshaw would say.
Well, why
funny.
Would you say that? Maybe they just have this like really good relationship and it's like poking jokes, but still, like, and I'm sure the guy doesn't care. He's like, I'm good.
Are you sure?
Well, I don't know, but when he added the like big guy, big fella, okay, that's what you call people, whatever. But when he added Waddle over here on live TV,
I didn't see that. Go back and look at it.
Declan, I'll check it out. My son, who was watching it with me, I let him stay up and watch the whole thing with me. My son, who was watching it with me, even realized like that was awful. And this little one says some things. Speaking of your son who says some things, he was wearing a Kindness is Contagious t-shirt yesterday that you got one of the kids for Christmas. So it has a heart. And I put it on him yesterday after his party when he showered. And I didn't put it on him, but I took it out. I was like, here, put this on. And he didn't realize, but he never read it. So during the Super Bowl halftime show, his comments include, her seven head is distracting me. And I love Rihanna. Like, I was like, Declan, no. I didn't even get it at first.
Can't send the Navy after a 10-year-old boy, though. I guess it's just on social media.
Okay, then you know what? We'll edit this out. But so anyway,
leave it in there.
He had a couple more comments. One of them really offended me because he said, is she, and like he almost said it like in a like respectful way, but he was like, is she 50 up there doing this? She looks like half my age, even pregnant. Like, and I'm 38. So I was like, man, if you think she looks 50, you must think I look 79. And I'm about to be waddling somewhere. But anyway. Even he said that was rude. Yeah, she looked phenomenal.
Great. You look great.
When people were saying she's pregnant, I was like, shoot, I look like that a few months postpartum. Like, good for her. But no, she actually is pregnant again and up there, suspended in the air and being magical. Go Rihanna.
There was another post-game scenario that you probably missed. And I don't know. This will be really test of Christina's judgment on editing. So after the game, on ESPN, Chris Berman, he thought he just hit the line of the year when he was like, yeah, he said a bunch of highlights of the game and, or not highlights, but he just said a bunch of points of the game, like Kelce brothers playing against each other. And this is the first time in NFL history that two black quarterbacks are playing against each other in the Super Bowl. Then he did a pause like this for dramatic effect just before he started doing the highlight. And then he said, and fittingly, on Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
That is so funny.
All right, moving on.
He freed us to make some money for his state so we could go play against each other for the owners. Thank you. On a field.
Yep. All right.
So, yeah, so that was my thought. Like, why would you say some man waddles? Oh, but the kindness is contagious, right? So Declan looks at his shirt after he says the stuff about Rihanna. I'm like, Declan, like, what does your shirt say? And he reads it. He says, oh, no. And he's just so fast. He says, ah, nah, I took the vaccine for that. It's not contagious to me. I said, Declan. And then he insisted on taking the shirt off and wearing something different to school today because normally he just sleeps in whatever he showered in and then wears it to school the next day. But he took it off because he didn't want people to think he was too nice at school today, fittingly. But okay, and then my rose for Super Bowl, though, is on that same stage. Like, obviously, I wasn't paying that much attention to what happened in the game. I honestly, like, did not care who won. But I kind of did want Jalen Hurts to win because, like, Patrick Mahomes already got his Super Bowl. Let's let all the black quarterbacks get their Super Bowls, and then we can go back and give seconds. But that's not right. Good job. Go Chiefs. Yay. And I kind of wanted to hear Jalen Hurts sing again, like he did after the championship. But it was so nice to hear Patrick Mahomes talk, and that is my rose.
We did a show. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is great. We'll get back to that in a second. But we did a show a couple of weeks ago about how Jalen Hurts is the most attractive quarterback in football. Do you find Jalen Hurts attractive?
I don't want to tell you this, but he is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my feelings are
hurt. I feel bad saying it, but I was like, he's very handsome. He licks his lips a lot. They're always well moisturized. My friend Sapna pointed that out to me, and she's on a mission to figure out what he is using on them so that we can get our lips to look like that.
If you can get Jalen Hurts, more power to you. I'll raise the kids.
Remember, I look 79.
I'll be so proud of you. I want you to live your best life. I'll raise the kids, and we'll meet up later in life. Maybe we can go on vacation together or something.
So you can meet Jalen.
I think he's cute too.
I'll introduce you to him. Yeah, he is. Anyway, you're distracting me. But yes, part of me wishes.
It ain't me. It's Jalen, apparently.
I'm about to change this D to a J. Psych, but I look 70, so I can't do that. But Patrick Mahomes, And I'm sure Jalen Hurts is lovely. I heard him saying he sounded like not great as a singer, but it made him sound so great because I love people who can't sing and just sing anyway. Like, I don't know why I love people like that. Kind of like I love fat kids with glasses. I don't know why I love fat kids with glasses, but you know.
You sing and can't sing and you were a fat kid
with glasses. And I was a fat kid with glasses. But Patrick Mahomes, listening to him talk after the game, I was like, he is just such a good guy. Like, I don't know him, obviously. Yeah. But like how, like at one point when they first interviewed them before they had built the little stage thing for them to accept, it was him and Travis Kelce. And so I think it was Aaron Andrews was like, you know, on offense, y'all did so great. So in that space, he didn't even like give Kelce all the credit. He was like, no, but our defense and Eric Bieniemy and like all these people. And then when they were interviewing just him, it was like, no, it was Trav and all and Coach Reed, you know, Andy Reid and all these people. Like it was never about him. And it was just so, so beautiful to see. Like he seemed like such a great, wonderful, hardworking, tough, but also just kind. And that to me, even though I'm raising a kid who says he cannot be infected by kindness. Like to me, being kind is like the most important thing. And that made me just really love him and really happy for him. So those are my brothers.
He's been outspoken on issues of race and justice. And he's also like fairly religious, which I guess could cut both ways depending on who you are. But for you, I know that's definitely a positive.
What's it for you?
Whatever motivates you to be a kind person or whatever you need for peace and morality, I'm all for it. If he said that the stars made him be gracious, then I'd be all for that. Or Allah, it don't really matter to me. Just find whatever it is, or nothing, or just you see people and you want to be decent, which is fine too. But I really like. He's always been really nice. Like early in his career, like I was able to reach out and interview him and exchange information with him. He's just like a gracious guy. And
have you ever reached out to Jalen Hurts though?
I will. Now, after this, I'll see if I can make that happen.
Can you send him a picture of me in my younger days? And Stephanie, both of us. Me and Stephanie side by side. He could choose. I'll share.
If you'll share, then he doesn't have to choose.
I'll share my opportunity.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, if you're willing to share, well, we can have another conversation after this is over. Oh, what was I going to say? I lost track because I was getting excited.
You're talking about Jalen Hurts. You're talking about how nice.
I didn't want to share Jalen Hurts. I meant like.
You're talking about how nice Patrick Mahomes is.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a great dude. He seems like he's a really good dude. I'll tell Patrick that I want to talk to Jalen and we'll see what happens. So is that your Super Bowl recap? Are you done? Oh, the Rihanna stuff. Did you see the internet was making
stuff about ASAP Rocky sperm?
Yeah. The symbolism of Rihanna being. Okay, just making sure you saw that also. That was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was. I know, that's amazing because I saw she said, I mean, I didn't know when, but I looked in an article and it said she had a baby in May. Like, I swear, like, May to that, honestly, I didn't. But, like, you could easily still look like that from your May baby. But no, she is like, and now I'm back with, like, and she's not like a big, fat, pregnant person like I was. She was, like, cute and then this little pregnant belly. Like, good for her. Go, Rihanna. It's great. But then, okay, so I don't have any roses and thorns about you. I actually have all roses that you need to guess.
All right, cool.
Because it's Valentine's Day, and I'm not a hater. I'm a lover, especially on Valentine's Day. Okay, guess what some of my favorite things about you are. What do you think my favorite date I've ever had with you was?
First one. Or the second one when we went to ESPN Zone and you beat me and some stuff.
That was cute, but no.
All right. Well, that was my guess. I missed it.
On the beach in Puerto Rico. Mostly because.
It was probably because you look nice. It would be my guess.
Yeah, I did look nice. So, Jalen. But also because it was like the first time I got alone time with you since like, because we went to Puerto Rico together after we got our vaccines, like we waited in line early to get our vaccines, some like leftovers in like, I don't know when, but it was June, I guess, of 2020, probably not 2021. And we went to Puerto Rico together and it was the first time we'd been away from our kids for like that whole time. And it was magical. And it was like before the Delta variant. So like we felt all comfortable and stuff. It was great. So that's my favorite day. What do you think my favorite accomplishment of yours is? You're such an accomplished person. Like you seriously have lived like multiple dreams. Like this is a dream job to some people. NFL is a dream job to some people. Marry me. That's a dream.
And it's true. I would say, I was going to say marrying you would be your favorite accomplishment for me.
I mean, now that you say that, that sounds good, but no, that wasn't what I had.
Business school.
That made me, that's it. I was so proud of you.
Well, you're proud of me because you forced me to do it and you deserve as much credit. No, I mean, you encouraged me to shoot for a higher level. And I think that's why it's your favorite accomplishment, because it's probably of the accomplishments one that you can lay a lot more claim to than the football one.
For sure. Also, I don't know. It just felt like in a lifetime, like you've done so much. And it was like, you already have this football career. Now you have like I know girls joking, like, oh, I want like somebody with an MBA, or like, we'll go looking like there's like whole like fancy Ivy League dating sites. I've never been on one, fortunately, but I know these exist. I'm like, wow, I got a football player turned HBS grad. And you still had a six pack, and you still do. And that's also barely a separate
hanging on.
Well, honestly though, it's because you used to have an eight pack. So yes, you are down a couple abs, but like, you're still
it's
doing
just genetics. Great. It's laziness and genetics. I thought, my performance ratio, I think, would be another accomplishment that I'm very proud of.
What do you mean by that?
Never mind.
What's my favorite word to hear you say?
Favorite word? Your name, Ashley.
It is. You're right. Yeah, I know that. Because he doesn't say it a lot. Like, I don't know. I guess we call each other other things. Or just when you're living with someone, it's not like he's saying babe or honey. Like, I mean, and not that you don't say things like that. Yeah. But you don't have to say each other's names a lot when you're always around each other. So when I hear him say Ashley, I just love the way it comes out of his mouth. What's my favorite thing to see you wear?
A Jalen Hurts jersey.
Honestly, that would just be a mess. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
Pink, something pink.
No, a turtleneck or a white t-shirt, but you look great in a turtleneck. What's my favorite thing to do with you?
Sex, obviously.
No, wrong.
I mean, that's true, but I mean, what's your second favorite thing? I don't know. I don't know. I like
the immersive full body cuddles. That's my favorite thing. Where I just like bear hug you while you're watching a movie, but I mean,
that's kind of a euphemism, honestly. So we can cut out the other one before.
It's not. You know that, John. You know that.
Immersive full body cuddles. I'm in for it. What's the next question?
Okay. Fully clothed also. Okay. Let's see. What are some others? I don't know if I have any others that I've thought of. Here's just a generic one. What is my favorite quality about you? I mean, it's not generic, but I can think of it on the spot.
Kindness.
You know what? That's not what I would have thought of. First.
Confidence.
You know what? It's like I have so many. What came to mind first is like how you figure shit out. Like sometimes your problem solving, when it's like you think I have a problem and you want to solve it for me, it does get on my nerves a little bit because sometimes I just want to talk to my problems. But generally, like my shower door was messed up the other day. He don't know how to fix it, but he's going to figure out how to fix it. Guess what? My shower door ain't messed up today and no one else came to my house. But you're right. Your confidence and your kindness.
I think those things are connected. It was like through the pandemic when we couldn't have people in the house and things were broken. It's like, I believe I can fix them. And most of the time it works out. I think in New York, when we lived in New York, it was taking too long for the superintendent to fix our washing machine. And I think that was one time where I was overmatched. I think I might've succeeded, but it took like a week to get that.
And then it broke again. But it was because we had this tiny little washing machine and it was three of us. And we just had a new baby who was like pooping all over things. So we were doing a lot of laundry. And I think I was putting a little bit too much detergent in. And it just wasn't, that little tiny machine wasn't meant for us. Do you have anything you want me to guess?
What's my favorite thing about you?
Like that I'm happy.
Yes. I think it's that you find joy and you bring joy to everyone else. And when you're not happy, it's very like noticeable. Yeah, just your happiness, I think, is contagious and infectious, and it makes all of us happier and whatever. And then that big, perfect smile that you have is
awesome. Thank you.
And my actual favorite physical characteristic about you is the grays that you have in your hair that you are so rude to. I miss them. I love them so much.
Do we think Jalen likes grays?
I don't know. Probably not. My guess is not. So you better plug him.
Taking my Mary Ruth's vitamins. I'm joking. Jalen Hurts could be standing right here.
I thought you were joking the first six times this joke came up, but now it's like, it's serious.
Keep a joke going, you know? You can't just let it die. He could be right here on one knee and I could have divorce papers with you already signed right next to them. I would rip them up and I would say, I'm sorry, Jalen, but let me give you some of my friends' addresses.
That's easy to say. Easy to say. I'm very sure that you would actually at least think about it. You give it a, you mull it over.
I would be like, but what do you use on your lips? Could you just let me find out real quick?
I wish you a happy Valentine's Day, everybody, except for me. I wish you all the best in your next relationship, Ashley. I'll raise the kids. I love you.
I love you. I'm not going anywhere. Oh, happy. Right. You know what? I just want to say happy Valentine's Day to Jasmine. Don't cut this out. Happy Valentine's Day to Jasmine and her boyfriend. My friend, did I tell you somebody, someone with the same name as one of my students. So I thought we actually were friends is my friend on Instagram. And it turned out she's not, but she listens to this and she sent me the kindest message, about like imagining like we sound like what her and her boyfriend might sound like in 15 years, which speaks to Declan's point that we're old, or that I look old, but I'm happy to be sounding like what they can sound like in 15 years. She was so lovely and so sweet and happy Valentine's Day to them.
Shout outs at the end. I like it. Black it up a little bit.
You know what? Happy Black History Month. Next week's episode, we're pivoting. Valentine's Day will be over. You gotta come with some Black History Month fire.
All right, you got it. It's your goal. Appreciate you. Bye. I love you.
Bye. I love you.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.